little Cool It Now for the coolest guy in town, Mike Fouché.
Man, that theme song is really starting to wear. Thanks, Beats by Zim. What's it like, 3-4 months now?
It's the end of the summer. We're getting to the dog days of summer here. So,
woof.
Mike Fouché from The Daily Line in studio, as he is every Wednesday night. Good to see you. How are you?
Great to be here.
All right, so let's talk. I mean, this is next week. We're on vacation. You're on vacation as well. So
yes.
We'll get
No, jeez. Now everyone knows.
That was a big secret. You were gonna prop up a couple of pillows at work.
Can I do a little aside? When I was in business school in Madison, I had a friend who had a business in Manhattan, right? And he had a 212 cell phone. And he would pretend the entire time we were in Madison that he was still in New York City. So we'd be out somewhere and he'd say some New York stuff.
Hey, buddy.
And we'd be like, yay, hey, Mets, blah, 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 Mets. And here we are in Wisconsin pretending to be so that he could pretend he was in New York.
So you were looking to do the same thing and I ruined
it.
I ruined it for you. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
Okay, so, but the point I was making is that this is really vacation time for – this is this week and next week for aldermen. They're just – they're not around.
sort of. That's an extreme point. I mean, really, they're sort of sleeping, but there's some big stuff that's starting to go down. I mean, the first is that tomorrow, aldermen are getting briefed on this new water tax. Tomorrow they're getting briefed on this new water tax. And then we're also expecting, they're getting briefed on the water tax tomorrow. And then next week, we're expecting that they're going to get briefed on the mayor's crime reform plan. So there's a lot of stuff that's starting to move,
is that
everyone's getting anxious about it.
That it's moving at this time? Is it something the mayor's trying to push through because it's a slow time?
Well, the mayor has said that he wants to get this water tax passed in September in order to pay for the municipal employees' pension. And then the other thing that he said that he wants to pass in September is the Police Reform Act. And he wants to pass the Police Reform Act in September because that's before the budget season starts, because there's a bunch of agencies that are going to be eliminated, and so he wants to make sure that they're all budgeted for appropriately, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So there is stuff that's moving, but, whether or not there's adequate attention that's being paid to it is a big question mark.
Okay, so let's talk about that water tax.
Yeah.
So the numbers, he's sort of putting out the draft water tax language.
Yeah.
And there's some numbers attached to those, and those numbers were kind of somewhat highly anticipated to see what Chicago residents are going to be on the hook for.
Well, the interesting thing is that the mayor put out a press release about 2 weeks ago that said, well, this is what we think it's going to be, that it was going to be about – it's going to slope up. It's going to ramp up. It's going to start at about $50 more per household, eventually getting to about $250 more per household by 2021.
This is by year?
Yeah, it's going to be ramping up
slowly.
But I
mean $250
yes,
a year.
It would be more. I mean, that's assuming that you're consuming the average amount of water per household. You know, businesses are going to be paying more because they consume more water or less. You know, car washes, it's not going to be so good for them, right?
Right.
So they had that release 2 weeks ago, and typically the game is that they give you a high number in the release and then they give you a low number later. Nope, the numbers matched up exactly. So the mayor, it's kind of funny, there's a little less of the shell game now. They're tightening up, which is it's good to see. It's a little different from the previous game. So we're expecting that it's going to be that there's going to be this new tax that everyone's going to pay, and it's going to be about $50 more a year starting next year,
and then ramp up to
$250 more.
And that's on top of what the CPS budget was approved today, and the property taxes are up.
The increased
there as
property
well.
Tax there, right? And so
another $250 a year.
Well,
on a $250,000 house.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be more. And it depends on a lot of other things, but yeah, essentially yes. So, and then don't forget, the property taxes are that the increase that they did last year is also set to ramp up again this year. It'll keep ramping up until 2019. And so then, there's some other stuff that we expect too.
I keep saying it over and over. I mean, I think it's has to be done for us to be able to afford the city we live in. There are other options, we have Tom Tresser in here and people talking about TIF funds and we're not broke. But when you really talk about this and we do it over and over and we harp on this, I mean, come next year, the year after, and even the year after, you're talking about hundreds of dollars a month. that are added to your bottom line. Yeah. I mean, to your expenses.
The average homeowner will probably be paying, you know, thousands of dollars more in taxes than they were in the past. And that's going to be passed on, of course, to people that are renting as well. So everybody's going to be paying a lot more. But now this is a good little segue. There was an interesting poll that was released today by the Illinois Economic Policy Institute, which is a left labor-favoring, union-favoring think tank, that said a whole number of really interesting things. Number one, the big surprise is that only 12% of Chicagoans that voted in the last three elections found that Rahm Emanuel is to blame for the fiscal stuff.
We've been hearing a lot of it this week because Sneed announced that Mayor Daley may want to write a book about his tenure, and then it's kind of leaked out again saying, I wonder if Mayor Daley, the Ink column today had the idea, I wonder if he's going to do some pushback on the idea that everyone has blamed other people besides what's happening.
Well, they certainly, I mean, it seems that now this is polling people that have voted in the last three mayoral elections, so high likelihood voters, they blame Daley mostly. And the other thing that was very interesting is that the average voter said that they were willing to pay more for services and that higher taxes, only 15%, which is an anemic number, really, when you're talking about polling, only 15% found that higher taxes was a big priority, which was a much bigger priority was 35% were interested in crime, solving crime problems, and 34% found their top priority was education.
I'd be fascinated to see if those poll numbers change after the taxes have been implemented. And if you did the same poll in 2 years, I think that'd be a different story because I am one of the people who are on record year two or year ago, even with the income tax down in Springfield, saying, you know what, let's pay our fair share. If this is going to get us out of this whole tax away.
Right.
I also recognize now as I'm getting the tax bills, I'm like, this is kind of a runaway train in the way that you're talking about $200, $300, $400 more a month for basic services. That's not what I think voters in the state of Illinois were looking for.
Well, you know, I mean, nobody wants to pay more, but I think that there is certainly a message that's getting through to Chicagoans. Now, this was really Chicagoans, not Illinois. There's a message getting through to Chicagoans that there are bills that are due and somebody's got to pay them. And so we're the ones. Now, you know, the question then remains is, all right, well, as you said, there's a series of calculations that people make. You know, people who are able to move out of the city, when they look at their tax bill and they say, geez, I'm paying this much more in taxes, maybe I could just move to the suburbs and have the same deal. Or people, if CPS doesn't continue to improve, people will say, I don't think that it's worth sending my kid to CPS. I could move to, you know, Northbrook or somewhere else.
Well, I mean, and let's take a quick break and get back to the combo, because I have a question about that. You know, is Chicago, and I'll leave it here before we go to the break, is Chicago now on par with their, I mean, it's not as simple as I'm going to move to Bolingbrook because Bolingbrook has taxes.
Yeah.
You know, and without the industry and the things that Chicago has, in some cases, we were talking to Jack Franks about this in McHenry County, it's more.
Right.
If you're in McHenry County, property tax there is through the roof. I mean, it's not even close to what I pay here in the city of Chicago. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up here. Mike Fouché in studio, Daily Line. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Mike Fouché on the download here from the Daily Line. It's Wednesday. We're talking city politics. One of the big stories that we've been covering, and I think we've done a pretty good job, sufficient coverage of the CPS-CTU contract.
Sufficient.
But I feel like, you know, it's interesting that you and I have been talking on the radio, what, every Wednesday for a year?
A year and a half.
And I would bet that 90% of that conversation has at least referenced or mentioned the relationship between CPS and CTU.
Oh yeah, man.
And it continues, and here we go down to the line, down to the wire, as we get to sort of no man's land here in the end of August. No contract in sight. The CPS budget was approved today.
Surprise!
So they done it.
Right. There was going to be a lot of controversy on that
one. Right.
And you know what's even better is that the day before yesterday, the Civic Federation, this fiscal watchdog group, put out a study of it and said, this thing is terrible. Please reject it. you know, CPS board, which would never happen. And, you know, because they're all appointed by, by the mayor. And
they make, they make it very clear in the news reporting, too. It's always a manual CPS board. Like, I see that all the time. Mayor manual CPS board.
Right. I mean, if you're ever looking for something that mirrors the Politburo, the CPS, the Chicago Board of Education, is pretty darn close.
And what
makes it even more like the Politburo is that today there were pictures that, that the teachers union were touting at the board meeting that one of the board members actually fell asleep in the middle of the board. So, you know, I mean, you know, this stuff happens.
Why would you do that? Why would you, I mean, take a no-do, get a 6-hour energy, man.
Maybe you've been reading
with
the budget stuff all day and night. I don't know.
Maybe they're up, maybe they're burning the midnight oil, getting all the facts and figures straight, or not.
Who knows?
All right, so I'm interested in this because this budget, you know, I think the Civic Federation is usually spot on with their number assessment to reject it. And the big issue in the budget, which I saw, was the approval of credit lines, once again,
for
$1.5 billion. Yeah. I thought we were past, I thought that, that that balancing the budget and being 100 million short here or 200 short here until the state comes through was it.
No.
What do we need $1.5 million?
Well, part of
$1.5 billion.
Part of it is that there's $1 million, or $1 billion of short-term credit that they're rolling over from the last year. So this budget, yes, it's balanced if you're just looking at 1 year encapsulated. It is not balanced in terms of taking care of all of the
Every time we've been on here in the past year, we're like, well, they just went and they junk status and they borrowed some more and they borrowed some more and they borrowed some more.
Well,
they still borrow, but they still have those.
Those are two different things. There's long-term debt and short-term debt. The long-term debt is very common. Governments have that all the time. They use that to pay for capital. But the short-term debt is much higher interest rate, and it is something that you usually use in order to have cash flow, but not in the case of CPS. And businesses do this too. CPS is not doing that. What they were doing was borrowing so that they could fill their hole, and so they still have that hole that they filled from the past years that they're still carrying. And so they have like $1 billion of short-term debt that they're bringing over from last year, and they're asking for another $500 million just in case.
I think we need to get Terry Savage in here, like, you know, CPS and Terry Savage.
She's not going to make it better, you know. This is what we're talking about, is that the bills are coming due.
It's unreal.
CPS has been working beyond its means for years and years and years. And so, you know, we're looking at – there. Once we – manage to right the ship here, we're still going to have to raise taxes more in order to pay all the stuff that we were carrying from past years.
The two things that are delinquent in this budget, one being a negotiation for something with a CTU contract, the idea that they should pay their fair share of whatever it is, $110 million. The other big number is a $215 million number that the state of Illinois has promised the board of it, or the CPS,
right,
that they, you know, they've committed to, but the money's not there yet because that's
right.
How Springfield works. But the point being, is that at all?
I mean, those are really two in the same thing. I mean, the state of Illinois says we'll give you another $250 million if you get some pension reform, and CPS needs some X amount of money today. Claypool said it was $31 million. You know, I think it's much bigger from the teachers. And those are really the same thing. They're negotiating the same thing. The only way you get pension reform is if the teachers get on board.
So essentially they're saying if you win the negotiation,
right,
we'll give you more money.
Right, exactly. If you manage to do if Donald Trump arrives in town and you get the art of the deal down, I don't know how they're going to do this because, and this is what we've been talking about week after week after week, which is the teachers don't want to give up anything, and CTU or CPS, the public schools.
Have you noticed anything? And you kind of gave us an insight, you know, when the rhetoric hits the airwaves, when we start to hear CPS or CTU spokespeople talk about the other side, that negotiations aren't going so well. But are there any indications this week of one way or the other that, I mean, is the silence that we've had in the last couple of days, does that necessarily mean that something might be inching along?
Neither group really talks about it. And you know, so the city,
so that could be good.
The city has longtime negotiator, this guy, this attorney Jim Franzik, who leads up the negotiations for them. CTU has Karen Lewis and her team directly leading the negotiations. So, you know, they don't talk about it much. Now there's all kinds of other stuff that's kind of going on the sidelines, you know, so CPS passed their budget today, and yesterday CTU put out a report saying that CPS doesn't do a good job of running anything. So, you know, they're all kind of, there's this scraping that's going on the edges.
Well, the next time we talk, it'll be after Labor Day. School will have started. So we will see where we're at, because there's going to be a strike notice. It'll be on the day we talk, on that Wednesday,
Probably. The
8th or whatever that is.
Yeah, we'll be back. That's right.
So we'll talk then.
Wow.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line.
What a cliffhanger.
Daily Line. Dun, 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 dun.
Wow.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.